y'all. We are back. We are back. So good to be back in the saddle, back in front of you guys. Hey, if you're joining us the first time or it's the 12th time.
This is episode 12.
Okay.
Not counting the bonus. I know you guys got a bonus episode last week.
Some good value.
Yes. But episode 12.
Awesome. So if you're joining us for the 12th time, you know, this is the Parenting Next Gen show where we help parents increase their confidence and improve their
conversational skills. Parenting skills, all the skills. That's what we're here for.
I was waiting for the ending.
I was letting you finish talking.
So helping parents improve their parenting one conversation at a time. So we're back. I'm Andre.
And I'm Noah.
Hey, look, so happy to be back with you. We got a great show lined up for you today. So hopefully you're tuned in. Hopefully you're sitting down and you're taking all this in. Because we're going to give you some good stuff today. We've got some great topics lined up for you. Noah, how you been?
I've been a little tired, but good. You know, just in the swing of things. Everything's been good.
Yeah.
How about you?
Oh, man, been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Fresh off of a trip to Houston. Went down there to see my dad, spent some time with him.
And if
you don't know, we're in that process of rebuilding our relationship.
How's that coming along?
You know, it's crazy that you asked that because there's some things that I kind of took away from this trip.
Okay, like what?
And one of the things that really stood out for me was I think my dad has this respect for me. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. So I just felt like in the time that, you know, we kind of spent, he confided in me a little bit more. He was a little bit more open with what he had going on a little bit more. And he looked at me as, even though he was kind of absent for most parts of my life.
Yeah.
It's like, man, I'm so happy to see how you turned out. And I think that just breeds this type of respect that he has for me.
So in a way that you've made him proud.
Yeah. And it could be a proud moment. I give him that. It could be a proud moment.
Yeah.
But I just kind of saw that just with our interaction. You know, we had a good time. We talked. We laughed. We played dominoes.
How'd that go?
I'm competitive.
Well, dominoes is a huge thing in my culture.
Listen.
Do not play.
It's very huge in our culture.
Dedicated table, dominoes table. Play.
Hey, listen.
You play with,
let's just say this. I didn't get up a lot. Now take that for why you take. Yeah. Very much so. Pounding on the table, like smack talking, like all that good stuff. But, you know, we had a great time. You know, he made some additions to his house, so he's kind of celebrating that. And some of his family was there. So, you know, we just kind of got to, impart on all of that and have some good food. And I just had a great time.
Family time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So, you know, that was kind of my weekend, actually. Mm-hmm. And, it's back to business as usual. So just working on a few things to keep bringing you guys good value, good content. But my week has been pretty good.
That's good. Happy to be back.
You know, I like traveling. I like traveling.
Yeah.
But I'm one of those travelers where, you know, after 4 days, it's like,
you're ready for home.
Yeah, this ain't my bed. But even then, when you get back, you're like, okay, we're going on this.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. You come back from a trip and you're playing the next.
That's
how it goes.
Absolutely. So.
Now, you do that thing where you go somewhere and you kind of envision yourself living there momentarily.
Yes, I tend to do that from time to time. And, you know, I rented a car while I was there, so, you know, I could be able to get around like I needed to. I visited, a couple places that I really wanted to. One in particular was a spot that is known from a famous artist. He was with a group called UGK. His name is Bun B. And he opened up a burger spot called Trill Burgers. It's pretty popular. So I had to go there. I even filmed a little video of me going there. The food was amazing. So yeah, I'm pretty
lived up to the expectation.
It, very much so. Very much so. But in all that, I said, yeah, I could probably do it. I could probably.
You gotta envision yourself living where you travel a little
the,
bit.
The only thing I didn't like, everything is so far.
Really?
Yeah.
Like drive.
Yeah. Unless you stay like, and you know, a lot of times they warn you against, like, if you go to like a major place, like, no, don't stay in the city. Stay on the outskirts. So my dad lives on the outskirts. If you, so, you know, it's like a 30, 40 minute drive into the city.
Yeah.
You know, so.
When you're a visitor, you want to be in the city a little bit.
Right, right. And I'm well, you know, I was driving. That's why I rented a car. But, you know, I wanted to go out there, you know, hang out a little bit, but also do a little family time. But, you know, overall, it was a good trip.
Yeah, how was it being in the place of a child? Because did you bring any kids with you, or were you just in kid mode yourself?
Nah, so it was just me on this trip. It was originally supposed to be me and my sister, but she had went 2 weeks prior.
Okay.
And she couldn't go this time. So, you know, I went just by myself, and it was, and I have sisters that live there too. So, you know, my youngest sister lives with him. She's 16, so I got a chance to take her out and connection. Went to breakfast and got a chance to talk and kind of build a little
bit.
Oh, man, listen, it's like all over again.
Yeah.
All over again, because I kind of helped raise my sister that lives here.
So it's freaky.
Right. And it was good. It was good. I got to kind of dive into a little bit about her and know her a little bit better and her know me a little bit better, so.
That's needed, though.
Well, definitely. So it kind of brought back some stuff. I mean, you know, a lot of stuff is kind of faint, but it brought back a few things. And like I said, me and my father reminisced on a few things. So
Storm, I mean, that's what happens when you reconnect with family, hearing those stories. And because we remember things from our vantage point, just got to see how they experience what we experience.
Because we're both looking at it through a different lens. Just learning more. Because I always ask questions.
Yeah.
I'm always inquisitive. I want to know, hey, when you were my age and at this time, what was it like? How was life? And, you know, what were your, you know, so I'm always asking.
It's time to ask those questions.
Yeah.
Did you take pictures?
I didn't take as many. And that's the one thing. I didn't take as many as I probably should have.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was just more in the moment.
In the moment.
Yeah. I wasn't really thinking of, oh my God, let me snap this picture and I gotta get I wouldn't really.
It's a tricky balance, but try to make the moment appearance and people out there. It's a few seconds, take the picture because life will pass us by. Will pass us by.
But some of the people that came out, because my dad has sisters on his side. So I got to meet some of my aunts that I ain't seen since I was like 4 or 5 years old.
Did they say anything like, oh, change your diapers?
Yeah, you know, the usual stuff. Yeah, the usual stuff. But I did take pictures with them. And, you know,
so. You did?
Yeah. But it was a good time. It was good to see everybody.
You got some anecdotes.
Hey, listen, now it's like, okay. I look at that also from a standpoint of being a parent myself.
Mm-hmm.
The reconnection piece, I think, is one of the hardest things that you can possibly do because, hey, this is going to be my parent forever.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm not going to get another dad.
Yeah.
This is going to be my dad. So the time in between that has been lost. Yeah, you don't get that back, but you also don't have a lot of time to make the newness or the memories or create the what we have moving forward. So it's like, man, you're kind of on borrowed time. You're trying to fit it all in and you still got your life and he still got his life. And, you know, you're just trying to mesh it all together. So it's a struggle. But
at least you're reconnecting now.
Yeah.
You didn't do that too late.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of part of it, you know, God is a redeemer of time, and time can be redeemed in a sense. As long as you know, you've done, you know, you're past the grieving of what was lost, what it could have been, keep it pushing and reconnect with the moment.
Absolutely.
Glad you got to do that.
Yeah, definitely a good time. I enjoyed it. You know, looking forward to going back again. I told him I'll be back very soon. So
hopefully it's not so hot.
Man, listen, shout out to Houston. Houston, it's a different type of heat, man. I'm talking about early in the morning.
How's the traffic?
Oh, it's insane. Oh, I thought traffic here was crazy. Like, and see, here, it's crazy because we got a lot of roads. Working on bridges.
Always
working on bridges, right? So it's just in the nature of it being traffic. There, ain't no road work going on. It's just a lot of traffic.
It's a lot of traffic.
So, but it I guess it measures out because it's only in between certain times. Certain times of the day is traffic. Other times, you kind of get
where you just have to know the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did pretty good. I didn't get lost too much. I don't think I really got lost at all. I may have gotten off on one or two exits that I wasn't supposed to as I was going somewhere, but I didn't, you know, I pretty much found my way around.
So the GPS is for
it. Well, that's the thing. The GPS is saying, hey, get off here. But when it's saying get off here, it actually meant get off at that next exit that's a little further ahead. It don't tell you that in the GPS all the time. So, but it, you know, it was cool. I did all my traveling during the day, so I was like, so we got a great show lined up for you guys today. Again, so happy to be back here with you. This is episode number 12. We are steady moving up the ranks. Hey, look, if this is your first time, please like, share, subscribe, you know, comment, let us know where you're joining us from. Let us know what topics are resonating with you the most and what we can talk more of for you, right? Because that's how we just keep building this channel, right? This is for parents. We're helping you one conversation at a time. So great show lined up for you. We got some good topics. Just take a look at them.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Got some good stuff. Some good stuff. So I when I was looking up these topics and, you know, doing a little bit of research, a little history work, a couple of these resonated. And the first one that I'm going to talk about, it definitely resonated with me because I was in the midst of this and let me just
living it in real time.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about it in real time.
Okay.
I hope they ain't watching the pod, but if they are,
so that's what it is. I just stop saying.
It's all love. It's all love. So I think every parent has like this standard or rule on how they parent or how they govern their kids, because the last thing that you want to do out when you're out in public is be
embarrassed.
The last thing.
Oh,
you see, look, Shire, your hands started clenching a little bit, like, God damn. So, the last thing you want to do is be embarrassed. Right? So,
we talked about this enough. We give them the rules.
The
social. Well, that, no, but before they get out the car.
Like, don't even
talk to them.
Touch
them.
Don't ask for nothing.
And when it's time to go, it's time to go.
Yeah, don't run around. I better not have to find you.
Yeah, mine is when it's time to go, it's time to go. Like, I could be anywhere, and if I do this, they're already going.
And if I get to the door and you're not there before me or right behind me,
yeah.
We got a problem. So, what do you say when you're out and you look and you see kids misbehaving, but those kids are the kids of your best friend or someone that you're very, very close to? How do you respond to that? Because, right, like we've said before, that whole village aspect of, hey, there's a right time and place to maybe impact some wisdom or advice there. But then there's times like, hey, look, I ain't gonna touch that. Because I don't know how they're going to react. And then I don't want you to react and think that I'm trying to do something to your kids.
Well, my inner circle is very tiny for a reason. And if you're in my inner circle and they watch this, they know that we've already had a conversation. And they know that if my kid is out of line and they feel like they need to step in, they can do that. That's okay. That would be sister, bro-in-law, my own parents. They know that they can pull them to the side and say something and converse. And I could do that with my niece and nephew, my godchildren. I could do that. Let me talk to you real quick.
Yeah, but how far is too far?
I mean, they're not laying hands on them or anything like that. But it's a stern conversation. It's a time out. Let's talk about this away from the parent. Like, you're driving your parents crazy. What are you doing?
Are they obligated to come and tell you?
No.
So, whatever they say to them, if it is in some form of discipline, you're okay if that never gets back to you?
Well, people are in my inner circles because I trust them and I know the caliber of character that they are. Thereby, I can trust that if they are calling my kid out on something, I trust their wisdom.
Gotcha.
That's why it's really tough. These are wise counsel for a reason.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah.
Makes sense.
But I think it's different when you know, and I grew up with god siblings who my godmother would call our attention, my mom would call their attention, my best. It's just a dynamic. So your cousins, so to speak. You just do. You raise them like they're your own. How about you?
Well, for me, I've been in a situation. I was actually dating a young lady, and her son was pretty aggressive. And I think in the manner of, hey, I don't know you, why are you with my mom?
That's a different dynamic, though.
Yeah, but going back to the question, hey, if you see kids and they're directly connected to somebody, they don't have to be your family. They can be somebody that, hey, look, I know your mom and dad, or I know your mom. Like, why are you acting like that?
So I guess I should have asked, like, what is the level of intimacy, relationally speaking, or the relational equity? Because I instantly just thought my inner circle versus an associate or somebody that I know, but they're not in my inner circle.
I'm just talking about broadly, right? Like, hey.
My apologies, I'm being assumptive here.
You see a kid and you know that kid's parents. You may have even been to their house. You guys maybe hung out before, you know, whatever the case may be. Somebody's even dated and they got kids and you see them out and they're quote unquote the bad kid. How do you respond to that? How do you react to that? So again, I was dating this lady and you know, I mean, her kid wasn't bad. He was a pretty cool kid. But I think in the time where we were just kind of starting out, he didn't really feel comfortable with me or me being around, even though I had been around already. But we were out and we're sitting at a table. We're out in public. We're sitting at a table and we're eating. And I'm sitting across from him and, you know, just kind of talking. And she's sitting there beside me. And the whole time that we're just kind of talking, like, he's kicking me under the table. Like, I don't mean, like, tapping me with his toe. Like, he's literally kicking me in my shit.
How old?
Man, maybe 12, 13-ish.
Oh.
So it was kind of, it hurt a little bit.
Older, this is not a toddler we're talking.
No, definitely not a toddler. No, this was a teenager. It could have been 13, 14. It's somewhere in 12 and 14.
Like a tween.
Tween. There you go. Yeah. So he's kicking me under the table and just right in my shin. And me being who I am. I'm embracing it. But at the same time, I got this smile on my face and I'm saying to her, hey, you know, your son is kicking me on the thing. And, you know, I just kind of laugh it off. But in my mind, I'm like,
she's not correcting the behavior.
Well, she didn't know at first.
Yeah, yeah.
She didn't know. So she just thought like, oh, okay, you know, they're getting along. But I'm just like, the first time I was like, okay.
It's an accident.
Maybe it was an accident. Maybe he was trying to stretch out or something. But after the fourth and fifth time, I'm like, yo, this kid is, and it's pretty hard too. It hurts.
Yeah.
So I'm telling her about it. She says something to him, you know, and he stops. But in that moment, I'm like, what do I do about this situation?
Depends on the level of relational equity that you have. If the relationship's fairly new, then you just make the right call. Tell the parents. Versus if you have relational equity with the child or whosoever child that is, then you can address it. It really depends on how long they.
Well, again, it wasn't a brand new relationship. I was pretty familiar with him. He and her had been dating, so it was pretty familiar with all parties. Again, I don't know what led to that at that moment, but at that moment, though, my thing was to reserve whatever feeling I had at that time.
Because it's
a child, and hey, I'm gonna allow mom to step in and diffuse whatever the situation is at this time. So it was a crazy moment, something that had never happened before, and it was one of those things where you're like, there is no real reaction here because you don't know how to react, so you don't react at all. And I think I did pretty good at kind of withholding that because then, you know, somebody else would have, they might have got irate or, right, you know, and
what's going on?
So when you see stuff like that, and again, that was a situation where it was directly affecting me at that moment. But sometimes you might see it and you're somewhere, you're like, yo, I know your parents. You out here acting a total fool. Like doing stuff I know they wouldn't approve of.
Yeah.
Do you at that moment say, hey, let me go correct it? Or is it just, hey, based on the relationship that I have with the family, does it have to be at a certain level before you say, okay, well, I'm going to go correct that and I'm going to let them know?
Yeah, I think it's the rapport you have with the child too. But knowing, I'm speaking from me and how I am, typically if I'm friends with somebody and they got children or whatever, I have some type of rapport with the child.
Right.
If I'm at the mall and they're doing something crazy and mom and dad are not around, but hey, what's going on? You good? And you can address the child and not necessarily say anything to mom and dad. It depends on the level of how crazy, like how bad. Have a context first. Like it depends on the scenario. Use an accent of wisdom. You just know.
I think for me, it's different because of my line of work of working with behavioral youth and families. You see some wild stuff. Kids do, they get overly aggressive. And sometimes out in public, it can be, you know, that level of embarrassing.
What are we talking about here? Provide some examples.
Well, again, I think you have to understand the line of work or been in the line of work to notate how serious it can be.
Yeah.
When we talk about acting bad out in public. So, I mean, it can get vulgar where maybe they're cussing somebody out. I've been in situations where, hey, they're cussing out another adult, cussing them out.
So that's different. That may require me to talk to mom and dad to take what's going on. That's what I'm saying. It depends on the scenario.
The scenarios, again, they can be they can be different. They can be different. But I'm asking that question just kind of based on what I've seen before and how other parents might look at that and what they would do to handle a situation like that where, hey, you see a kid, a teenager or something like that, they're acting out in public, but you know their parents. Do you approach that situation and try to diffuse it and say, hey, look, come on, I know this ain't you, and bring it to the parents? Or is it something you say, I just call them. Say, hey, look, child's acting crazy today.
So let's take the scenario, for example, because I want to make sure that our parents here have some tools, right? Because they may encounter this when they're out and about. So if I'm going to, let's say my kids are out and about in the mall without me, which they tend to do, and they've earned that trust, and I know I'm not saying these are my kids, but I know they're not out there doing some craziness. But let's say they're flipping out and cussing somebody out, an adult. The adult, I think, will be appropriate for them to call me, like, hey, I saw your kid flipping out, cussing somebody out. But if they have no relation or rapport with my kids, it doesn't make sense for them to intervene in that moment. Versus if they have a relationship or have some type of rapport, whether it's a ministry leader or maybe a friend or associate of mine, it would make sense for them to approach the child and tell me about what they, you know, what happened at the moment. It all depends. You just have to evaluate the situation and do the best you can. But what makes sense?
Gotcha. Great point.
They better not be at the mall.
I look at it as you hope that the values that you teach carry on even when you're not around. Yeah. You know, I know my kids aren't perfect. You know, but I know they know enough to what to do and what not to do. Sometimes that doesn't always set in. I was a teenager. My mom taught me great rules and regulations, but I still did stuff. Yeah. And I know she wouldn't be proud of when I was doing it, but I did it anyway because it was the people I was around. So,
the people, not you.
it was me because I allowed myself to do it. You know? But there was a lot of interference there or
influence.
Influence, that's what I want to say.
Yeah.
Influence. But, you know, still came out pretty good. You know, hopefully if you have a teenager, you inflict that same wisdom and those values in them to where when they are out, they understand what to do and what not to do. Because sometimes you can just get caught in the wrong place and it's not even your fault. So
see that a lot.
Good.
A lot. And one of the questions that you have posed was, what do we do when your child is friends with a bad kid?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever experienced that?
Of course. I think not everything, but I think I've experienced a lot of things just when it comes to parenting. Mm-hmm. This is definitely one of them when your kid is hanging out with the quote unquote bad kid. And I don't think there's no bad kid. It just are spiraled in a different direction for whatever reason that may be. Maybe it's their home life. Maybe it's, you know, mental stuff, whatever. But they're just kind of spiraled in a different direction and they're labeled as bad. But with that situation, I think as a parent, you immediately have to step in because you can see the signs of where that's going to be.
Yeah.
You can look at that and say, okay, hey, you know what? This isn't going to end up good for him or for her. And you don't need to be around that because that doesn't need to bleed off on you. But also, I don't want you bringing any of that to this house.
Yeah.
So
I think I've only had two instances. One of them, it's not that the child ever misbehaved in our home. But I had heard the stories, like, oh, she got suspended, here she goes again, like, you know, slipping out, like, all kinds of craziness. But when she was in our home, the most respectful.
They usually are.
Yeah.
Usually are.
And it's like, as I'm peeling back the layers to her, okay, you're just an angry child. Your home life, you're angry at the world, you're angry that you have to live with an aunt. You're angry that your mom's out of love. You're angry that you don't know who your dad is. Like, you're just angry. And then on top of that, you're having a learning disability, being treated differently. So you're just angry child. But I've had an instance, too, where you just walking around the house and you're like...
The sad eyes.
I'm like...
The sad eyes, great.
I'm like, my like, spirit don't feel good about this one.
Why are you in here?
Like, I know why they're here, but it's just like when you see the child, it's something, it didn't feel right. That mom reader kicks in. And I just told my kid, I was like, something about this child, I can't put my finger on it. Come to find out, she does like dark magic and all that. I'm like, that's why this was that.
Readers always know.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah. But, you know, they distance themselves. But I've only had it two instances. And like you said, it's stealing those values. And I think that when your child, when you've built that trust with your child, when you have to say something, your child will know, my parent knows best. I trust my parents' judgment. I may not like that I have to separate or sever or say goodbye to the relationship, but I'm trusting what my parent has to say. Because it's already built.
Yeah.
Versus if you criticize everything, they're just going to think it's another thing or criticize me, and it'll do the opposite. Don't really cling to that relationship out of rebellion.
It usually comes off that way sometimes. They don't always see it right away.
Yeah.
So I think the more in tune with who that you are, the more impact that you have in life, you can really get in front of things like that. You won't be able to stop everything. You'd be able to get in front of certain
some things you just have to experience yourself. Fortunately.
You're still experiencing it. So I don't think that process ever stops.
Learn my experience.
There it is. No, that's good. That's good. Hopefully that was helpful for somebody. There's another question here that I was thinking about. And you know, I got a high schooler now. You got two high schoolers, right?
Yeah.
And it's a different time in high school.
Very different.
Very, very different time in high school. So if you got some high schoolers out there, you probably resonate with what we're talking about here. But it's a different time, and they lead a different life. Because high school is it's like their own world.
But I'm loving it. I feel like middle school is just horrible.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes.
Oh man.
You're going from that transitionary period from being a child to being like an older kid. And it's hard on them. The bullying in middle school is intense. Oh man. But now they're in this season where it is, I mean, my son was just here before we hit record. What was he doing? Dreaming and who am I going to roommate with? And
you buy your first house.
Yes.
Good questions, by the way.
Yes. And I love that because they're dreaming out loud and they're allowing me into their dream. And like, what do you think? Like, do you think I want to, it's just like adulthood is so close. And they're alive and they're just excited.
I like the fact that they're taking it head on, right? Like they're not, yeah, they're scared about it or nervous, right? But they're taking it head on. Like, hey, I know I'm going to be an adult, so I know I'm going to have to, you know, show my independence and be able to go out here in the world and you know, run my own race. But I'm ready for that.
Yes.
But I'm ready to take that on. And I respect that a lot about teenagers of today's time.
And it's the support too. I my kids both have their plans and wanting to move out and do all these things, but it's also letting them know that maybe just because you're 18 does not mean, you know, I'm not kicking you out, right? It's okay to stay home too. Firstly, life is very costly right now, but they know that they have that support too. I'm not subscribing to what the culture is saying. 18, peace out.
Right.
It's okay for you to stay home if that's what you want. Still pursue your dreams because they're all going to college locally. But I just love how they're dreaming out loud. It just rejoices me.
Absolutely.
It's a fun time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And 18 doesn't mean that you're grown. It's just a number, right? So if any teenagers are watching this, because I hear it all the time, oh, I can't wait to be 18. Yeah, that just means you're 18.
That's it.
Doesn't mean you're an adult. Just means you're 18. So the question that I had was, how independent do you feel like your kids should be when they hit high school?
I'm always going to say define independence, but independence to me, I'm thinking it from the angle of a mom, of course. At the very least, they should be able to wake themselves up. Although I'm usually the first one up, I have started maybe a year or two ago, I'm like, stop waking them up. Just because you're up, stop waking them up. So they will set up the alarms, just that sense of responsibility. Because there were times where maybe I wasn't feeling as well and I didn't wake up in time or whatever, they still wake themselves up. Responsible for packing their own belongings, just independent. You know, I'm here for support. I don't mind the occasional, man, I forgot my charger, man, I forgot my laptop or whatever. But that's very important.
I totally agree. The reason that this came up because I was reading something where it was a parenting website, and there was a comment on there about this very thing, like how independent you feel like a kid should be. And a lady was expressing her frustration because her son wasn't managing his time or schedules like she felt he should be. He wasn't getting up on time for school. She had to wake him up. He wasn't using any type of time management to get things done. So it was just, I guess, after piling on so much, it started to kind of frustrate her. So she was looking for, you know, advice or an outlet. And I was like, man, that's a great question, because I've always looked at, And I won't say I was the best at it, like getting up on my own and stuff. Like, yeah, my mom had to wake me up at the time. But there was also times, like, if you didn't get up, you couldn't be like, hey, mom, can you drop me off? No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to take you to school because you should have got up and go there. So now you have to deal with that consequence of not going. And even now, I kind of find myself in that because, you know, my son, he's in high school now and he's called me, hey, dad, are you at work yet? I know why you're asking me that. No, I can't take you to school today. So, I. Now, of course, his mom is going to do it, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But I think there's also a lesson to be learned in that, to say, hey, If it's one or two times, I get it. We're all human. It happens. You oversleep. Cool. But it's the notion of, okay, I don't want to have that happen again. Let me make sure that I'm on top of setting my alarm the night before. Let me make sure that I got my stuff ready so I'm not lacking when it's time for me to go out the door.
Those are just symptoms. I think it's important to go to the root of the problem. Is it that you're staying up late? Is it that you're restless? Is it that you are mentally drained from whatever's going on in school, in life? If it's habitual, let's get to the root of the problem so we can address it. But one-off scenarios, it happens. My kids don't know this. I don't know if you hear me, but...
Hope you're not listening.
They're right there. I've taken the opportunity to, when they miss the bus, I don't even... bus or anything, because I already know, God, you want to talk to me, I'll be back. And he does. Oh man, so it's very rare. It's very rare, but so far it just comes with practice. But if I'm noticing that you're waking up exhausted, you're not. We get to the root of the problem. You're going to bed late. Why are you going to bed late? Well, I don't feel I have enough me time. Stuff that we adults do.
Right.
Why do you feel you don't have enough me time? Okay, like you just get to the root of the problem.
And in getting to the root of the problem, if it continues after that, how do you address it?
Talked about feedback. You have a time. I like to put a time bound. Hey, let's follow up in a week or two. And I'm like, how are we doing? What changes are? What's working? What's not working? Just turn into a habit. My kids know. They know too. Like I have places to be too. Like work. Like the roof over your head and the food on the table. You already know that. That's how you support mom in the house as well. Is by doing what you're supposed to be doing so I can do what I'm supposed to be doing personally.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I had a talk with my son the other day about habits and how you can tell a lot about a person based on their habits because they follow you.
Yeah.
No matter what you do. And I think it really resonated with him because it was something the way I depicted it, it made sense to me. So just having that talk and being the example of these habits, showing him, hey, this is what I need to mimic or at least follow. So my habits will showcase that, hey, I am doing what I need to be doing. So I think that was pretty impactful the other day. And you know, when it comes down to him being on time or being, you know, keeping up with his schedule, mm-hmm. he does pretty good. So got a lot of respect for him for that. You know, at 14, he takes that pretty seriously. But like you said, a little one-offs here and there. So
they watch how we handle our schedule. Are we punctual? Do we keep our word? How is our work ethic? What ethic, like how does mom prepare for the day and work? How does she show up to her projects and things that she's already given her yes to? They are taking it all in. So parents, you are to lead by example. Because the level of hypocrisy, if you're telling them to wake up on time and you're not doing that. So lead by example. Show them the way with your actions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You'll definitely go far. Definitely go far. What else do we need to get to for the people? So I just had a talk with somebody about this on the way over here.
Yeah.
And I asked this same question because they have teenage boys as well. And actually, I also asked my sister this too because I was like, hey, I might need my nephew to take me somewhere. And
you can't tell your nephew's older.
yeah, he's 19.
Yeah,
19. So she was like, "You might want to drive, cause he drive crazy." So the question is, teen driving.
Yeah.
Does it give you anxiety?
Of course.
Why?
Firstly, for those who don't know, this is my industry. I work in the auto insurance.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I work in auto insurance claim. So
you see everything.
Yeah, and I can see the ramifications of making a wrong decision on the road. It's not just financial. It can lead to a fatality. I've seen cars bent around trees and things like that. So, and then also understanding the legal ramifications of a lawsuit. And I would never want a child to be facing that as such a young age. So it is crazy, but I think that's the importance of teaching them not just the driving, but what it could potentially be. This is, you know, quarter ton vehicle or whatever, what it could be. What it could do. But anyway, it's nerve wracking. I think I'm ready. I mean, it doesn't matter if I'm ready or not. I don't have to teach.
It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming because they're going to ask. Hey, can I get your car?
They're excited. Yeah. No, I think right now in this season, my biggest concern is like, we only got the one car, so. If you wreck it, I need to be able to replace it. And
that affects everybody.
guess there's a way, but I just, we got the one. So I think it's nerve wracking, but you have to relinquish the control. So regardless of how nervous you are, just prepare. So I think I was telling, we have a motto in our house, be prepared, don't be scared. Because a lot of fear usually comes from the unknown. Things we don't know, and things we wish we could control, but we can't. So if you're preparing them in the way you're teaching them how to drive, how to be defensive, hey, if you happen to get pulled over, what you got to do or not do, in the event of an accident, what you got to do or not do, if you equip them with knowledge, it's not that it's going to remove the fear away, but it should substantially decrease it, I would think.
No, I totally agree. I think now is like that pivotal time for them to learn not only how to drive, but the mechanics of a car. So when I'm doing stuff like maybe I'm changing the tire, and I had to do that one time.
Yeah.
I had to change a tire, and then I had my son with me, and I said, hey, look, get out of the car. Come watch me do this. Help me do this. Hey, grab that.
Very involved.
Does. Yeah. Get them very involved so they understand, hey, if I come across something like this later on, Dad already taught me how to do this. I feel confident enough, I'm good. Also, does it give me anxiety? Yes and no. No, because like you said, at some point they're gonna drive anyway.
Mm-hmm.
My anxiety is the other people out on the road that you may not pay attention to, because that comes with experience.
Yeah, it's very defensive and alert.
Right. That you can't really teach that. That comes with experience of driving. Like, hey, I can tell you to pay attention, but you got to know what to pay attention to. So that's the part that really gives me anxiety about my kids driving. My son has been in an accident. Car flipped over. Thank God he was okay. You know, came out with nothing wrong.
You've had a traumatic accident.
I've had a traumatic accident, but that was us being just wild and crazy. You know, but you don't think that those things are going to happen. And, you know, I left that with a few scars. But again, that was a lesson for me to, hey, look, don't play with these vehicles, because you know it can be very, very, very tragic. And I've seen some terrible accidents, motorcycles, stuff, all kind of things. So, yeah, it definitely gives you a lot of anxiety in that aspect, because it can be traumatizing. And going back to my nephew for a second, when he first started driving, he was a little uneasy, a little nervous about parking.
Adults are so nervous about parking.
But he, like if there was two cars and there was space in the middle, he would get so nervous because he didn't want to hit either one. And I'm just trying to get in that spot perfectly.
Especially the car that you're driving is it's bigger.
Right. So he used to have a real, real issue with that. He was able to get over that. But in that time, there was an instance where he's backing out of my mom's driveway and there's a car that's parked. It was a neighbor's car. It was parked, but it was kind of parked, you know, but adjacent to him coming out of the driveway. He didn't see it and he hit the car. And that just threw him for a loop where he didn't want to drive for a little while.
Yeah.
He didn't even want to get in his own car and drive because that was like that a traumatic experience.
Yeah,
and it wasn't like he hit it hard, crazy, or anything like that. He was just backing out.
Trust the skills anymore.
Yeah. So it's a lot that comes with it, and just through us just kind of talking to him and you know helping him regain that confidence to get back out there. Now he get in the car. He's all over the place.
5 to 6 a minute.
And you see what my sister said. Hey, you might want to drive instead of him because he's just
crazy.
He's just crazy. But, you know, but he's confident now and he's moving around. So
too confident, clearly.
Very confident. Very, very confident. You know, it's the one hand seat back now. Like, Yeah, like I'm, you know.
To pass.
I'm comfortable.
Now. Yeah. To pass.
But I think parents experience this. And like I said, I think this is more so a time of not only teaching how to drive, but how to maintain a car, because it is very possible that they get a flat tire or, I don't know, run out of gas, or anything can happen while they're out there on the road. And just having the wherewithal to know, okay, well, this is what I do when I get an accident. This is what I do when I have a flat tire. This is how I do, you know, when I take my car in to get it work on or something.
That's what I was just about to say, because when you take your car in, you gotta at least know what's going on. Right. Like, I'm paying you because I don't want to do it or don't have the tools or the time, but know what's happening under your hood at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're going twice, an arm, a leg.
And that's the first thing they're going to ask you. Well, what's the problem? You got to be able to tell them, hey, this is what's going on.
But yeah, especially for females, because you know, you got to put in a little bass to your voice.
Yeah.
Be like, I'm telling you, this is what happens. Yeah. Or you have to exert yourself a little bit more. Have that male friend or parent or whatever, family member, sometimes calling your behalf. It's not take it seriously.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
At least know enough to know the truth in the moment.
Hey, listen. Make sure. Mm-hmm. You'll be coming out of pocket. Like, what are you paying for?
Okay, thank you. Write it all out.
Right. Yeah. Come on. Oh, man. Teen driving. Hey, if you got teens and they're starting to drive, mm-hmm. just make sure that, you know, you're giving them the rules of the road.
Mm-hmm.
The rules of the road.
That's true.
What else do we need to get to? We talked about that, teen driving. So, there was a study done.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many college students there were, but it was talking about this study that was done with college students that said the number one skill they wished parents or adults had taught more of: emotional skills. Yeah. Talk about that for a second.
Technical skills you can always teach. Emotional skills you can teach, but it takes a lot of time to practice. Because you can know how to do whatever, change a tire, or how to, you know, go to the mechanic or whatever, but you have the emotional, like, say, wherewithal to, I see you scamming me, how do I handle that situation?
Right.
How do I conduct myself? How do I have the difficult conversations? How do I show up in the world, still stay strong, still, you know, stand up for myself?
Right.
And I flip out and start cussing out people.
Right.
The malls.
Yeah.
The malls.
Crazy.
Know when to walk away. Just, it's something you have to teach, because everything else can also. We talk a lot about self-regulating your emotions, taking a minute. You have to teach emotional intelligence.
No, I agree. I like what you said about standing up for yourself.
Yeah.
I think that plays a major part. One of the things just in my line of work that I start to see come up more and more: coping skills.
Yes.
Right. That's, I think that's super important as well. And that kind of leads to the emotional piece of it. Like being able to cope with your emotions, understand your emotions, and how to regulate those emotions, because we all get angry.
Of course.
Right. We've all been sad to a degree, but knowing how to still be present when those emotions hit.
Absolutely. And not dismiss them, because people will try to dismiss your emotions. Number one, your emotions are your emotions.
Right.
And also know that people aren't responsible for your emotions. It's...
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, we got to... Like kids, they got to spin the block. Say that one more time. Wait a minute. Say that one more time.
People are not responsible for your emotions. Mm. Their actions or inaction can spark an emotion, but it's still your emotions to process. And it is okay to say, this is how I experienced you. but say it from a place that people can calm down.
Absolutely.
But when we don't have language to whatever it is we're experiencing, we lash out, we flip out, ghost, just acting crazy. Versus, hey, this shut down. I've done that. It's like, they don't even know that their actions or inactions have really hurt me. You just kind of, it's okay. But that's terrible as well. You gotta stand up for yourself, but just having the emotional capacity to be able to speak in a mature manner. And it's not that we're gonna be perfect at it either.
No, that's a skill set that definitely takes a lot of work.
Yeah. Definitely that comes with the skill of saying I'm sorry.
That's an emotional skill that many people step over.
Yeah.
They step over that.
Yeah, because, you know, I've had moments where maybe I didn't use the right tone. And people that in my life, they can attest to, hey, I apologize for my tone. I didn't. Not that I'm excusing it, but hey, I didn't regulate before I spoke to you. I didn't come off the right way. I am sorry. And let's talk about how I experienced you and our. But, you know, that comes after years of not speaking out for myself or just, I just go to life. Not really.
Oh,
self-development. These skills, you don't just develop them overnight.
You don't get them overnight. It takes a lot of work. What happens in that instance where you're understanding the emotion, but the person on the other side isn't, and they're still, maybe they're fueled up, or they are saying, hey, look, well, I'm sorry, you know, I'm feeling some type of way, or expressing, this is how I express myself, and they're out of 10, and you're like, hey, we can talk about this, but it doesn't have to go there.
They're out of 10, that's not the time to talk.
Right.
I'm not going to be receptive to whatever it is you've got to say. But if they're naturally there all the time, then just know that you can't really reason with that.
What do you say if that's your child and they're at a 10? You're like, hey, look, you know, I want to talk to you. I need you to calm down. So you can listen and understand what I'm relaying here to you.
We've had those moments where, especially when I see the tears are ready to just roll, we've said, hey, let's come back. Let's go process. Let's all calm down. And we each go our own way. And we come back and talk about it. But in that moment, in the heat of the emotion, everybody goes to sit down somewhere.
Right.
We'll talk later. Because words can really hurt and cut.
Very deep.
You have to be very careful.
Very deep.
And you want to listen to understand that relationship too with the kids. Again, you want them to trust you, even with their heavy emotions.
Are you the parent that sees the tears and you immediately feel like, oh, man, you get that guilt, like, man, I don't want to
cry. Not the guilt. No, but no parent should want to see their kid cry.
Right.
But if it's a moment of correction, it allows me to kind of, okay, maybe let's come back to this. It's, I still have to do the correction regardless. I have to correct the behavior, but maybe let's come back to it.
The only reason I ask that because I've seen some parents, you know, the kid may start crying and the parent says, oh, what the fuck? And they never get to the, you know, fixing the situation, right? They never get to that point. So I've seen kids also know that about their parents.
And use it as manipulation.
And they use that, like, oh, well, I'm going to start crying because I know my mom or I know my dad ain't going, they're not going to punish me. I'm not going to get in trouble because I started crying. So again, I think it's that understanding and knowing that, hey, because you're crying, yes, I don't want you to cry, but it's not going to stop me from still disciplining for whatever we're talking
about. We need to address the issue. Yeah. There goes one of them there. You want to come say hi?
Are you driving yet, sir?
Not yet.
Oh, man, because we just talked about anxiety for people that are driving, teenagers. Yeah. Do you feel like you're comfortable enough to sit in the seat and get on the road?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Says every kid.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, your time is coming.
Thanks for saying hi.
Your time is coming, so.
Oh, yeah. I know. See, it'll be here before we know it.
Before you know it, it's gonna happen.
I'm thinking it's gonna free up time on my end because it feels like most of the days is who do I gotta take where, who has something because they got their own little schedule.
I know when my son started driving. Hey, I need you to go make this run for me. Yeah, so now I ain't gotta do.
Hey, they love that.
They like, hey, you need me to go somewhere else for your dad? No hey, problem. You know I go. You ain't got. Okay, cool. Yeah. Long as they can drive. So I think it's a special moment. I know when I first got my license and started driving, man, I was all over the place. I was all over the place. I couldn't wait to ask my mom, hey, can I get your car?
Any excuse to go out
to any drive. Listen. Hey mom, can I get your car? Hey, you ain't got nothing to do today. Can I get the car? Love that. Love it. So yeah, definitely the emotional piece, you know, I think that's very relatable because again, that's something that a lot of parents are probably dealing with at home, just really controlling that emotional piece and also giving that emotional piece as well, you know, with the apologies and just being able to kind of tap in and have that conversation about, well, how are you, how is your, not only your mental health, but like emotionally, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
Right? Because we see a lot of kids battle depression, mental health struggles, just the insecurities of trying to fit in, you know, all these different things. It plays a big part.
You just have to think of it this way. We, all those things you mentioned, we adults go through those, those things.
I don't think you ever get away from it.
No. So, and we have the wisdom and knowledge, life experience. And these things that you mentioned feel heavy.
Right.
Imagine a child who has, their brain is still developing and do not have the wisdom of those skills. That's a lot of time.
Yeah. Definitely a lot to bear. That's why we talk about coping skills so much. And when those moods kind of hit, hey, here's something that you can do to kind of offset that.
Yeah.
Like my kids, you know, whether it's video games or art, you know, painting something or reading a book or playing basketball, like whatever it is, just to get your mind off of those things. And then afterwards, we can kind of address the situation and talk about it.
Yeah.
So. Finding some type of resolution, you know, when that mood hits is a great way to counteract us.
Leading the conversation to a resolution. It's not just, you don't clean your room and you're constantly waking up late. Is that resolving anything? Or are you just complaining and nagging? Again, skills that they're going to need and well into their adult years. How do you address a boss? How do you address, you know, friendships? They're going to need those skills. That starts back.
Absolutely. And I think those have to be taught more. I don't think those are taught enough because just looking at the kids today, right, in this day and time, would you say a good percentage of them are ready to face the real world?
No, I think to some degree. You also have to remember we're having an anxious generation of parents, millennials, that are raising these kids from either hovering over them from an anxious place, like, no, you can't drive, you're not driving until you're 18 because I'm scared. It has nothing to do with the child's readiness.
Right.
It's It's who's raising the next generation.
Somebody had put in the comment when I was reading that thread. It was like, yo, what do you want your kid to live in a bubble?
Some do.
Yeah. But some look at it that way. Because I wanted to protect them from everything.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can.
Yeah. Trial by fire.
Yeah. So hopefully this will maybe kind of open up the conversation to have with your teen to say, do you think you're ready to face the world? Because a lot of them have the notion of, when I turn 18,
yeah,
I'm an adult. Now I can go just do my own thing.
Yeah.
But are you really ready to face the world? Do you have enough? Are you equipped with enough to be able to cope with what's going to be coming at you?
And they may not know how to answer that. That's right. Okay.
It's good to have the conversation.
Yeah, you got to dig deeper. What scares you? Mm-hmm. What questions do you have? How do you envision this going? How do you picture? Because they may be picturing rainbows and unicorns for all we know. Or they could be picturing the worst. How do you envision this doing? Okay, like my son was just talking here. Yeah, I envision having a roommate. Okay, what does that look like to you? Are these strangers? Are these people you know? How do you envision that happening?
Because you never know a person until you live with.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. He's like, I think if I live with so-and-so, 27 days later. Okay.
Hey, I respect you. Yep. Yeah. Never know. You never know. I think my first roommate was when I went to college. First time I had a roommate in college. And actually, I had three roommates. So it was four of us in an apartment. And that was tough.
Yeah.
That was tough. Because not everybody lives the same. You know?
No.
You're constantly watching your stuff and you got to put your name on stuff and you just...
And you grew up in a very tiny home.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And everybody don't clean the same. And it's like, oh, man. And you're sharing that. Like, yeah, it was tough. But you need that experience for later on in life.
Yeah. So. Live with kids.
Mm.
Maybe you're a minimalist or they're a maximalist. That's me.
Yeah.
Keep the belongings in your room.
Because all this stuff in here. Why do you have trash in the corner?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here?
So.
Parents. Hopefully this was helpful. Hey, listen. Great show.
Yes. So 12.
Episode 12 is now in the books. Hopefully this brought some type of value to you. The conversation was relatable enough to where maybe you can pick something from this and maybe start to have that conversation with your team. Maybe it's something that you want them to implement now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something that they're going through that, you know what? Now I understand how to address that a lot better. So, again,
I was going to say, especially now that we're all going through transitions, because a lot of them are going into new grades, going to new schools. Yes.
School is upon us.
Yes. So it now is a good time, especially they're home more now. It's time to connect. Summertime, fun times to the beach, visiting family. Now is a time to really, really connect and be intentional about connecting.
Absolutely.
Before they go back to the school with all the influences of the world, trying to like really pull them away.
And kind of going back to what you said earlier, asking them, what does this year look like? What's your outlook on this year ahead?
Yeah.
Because for some kids, it might be their last year of high school. It might just be their first year of high school.
Yeah.
Right? So what does this year look like for you? And what do you want to have?
Some of them, based on what I've heard a lot of the kids, they're like have anxiety about going back to school or they're ready. Why are you ready? Like, so they each have their own emotion about or feelings towards going back to school. It's the time to bond.
Hey, great time. Great time to bond. Because you ain't got nothing but time.
Right.
You ain't got nothing
now. But time.
So, again, hopefully this was helpful. Appreciate you guys joining us here at the Parenting Next Gen Show. Always like, subscribe, leave us a comment. tell us where you're calling from and how parenting is going for you. Are any of these topics actually helping you? And if so, and you want to hear more of a certain topic, let us know in the comments.
It's great. Yeah, I can't wait to hear the feedback from you. Some of you are really good about it, DM me, texting, pulling me aside. So I really appreciate it. And I really hope this is a blessing to you and your family.
We love to keep bringing you this type of content. Until the next time, this is us signing out from the Parenting Next Gen Show. I'm Andre.
I'm Alex. Next time. Peace.